are listening to the Scale with Speed podcast. Why? Because scale equals revenue and speed equals profit. Hosted by nine-figure business builders Matt Monero and Judge Graham. Enter with caution.
Welcome to the Scale with Speed podcast with my good friend, business partner, Matt Monero.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What's up, kid?
What is up, my man? We were just talking pre-storming capital, COVID. Man, it's crazy. Crazy times. But we're not here to talk about all the crazy shit because everybody else has already absorbed that.
Hey, there's still some crazy shit about today's topic, though, man. It's like, it's, you know, this concept of what gives you the mindset that it's popping champagne time, you know. It's like, where are you getting that from, Mr. Two-Year Entrepreneur, that, you know, something occurred in the office that says it's time to treat it as if the wire transfer came through, you know? Judge, let's put a little perspective on it. What we're trying to talk about here is when do you pop champagne, right? When do you actually say, man, we're really achieving stuff? And I think what you and I both see so often is too many people are putting themselves in that movie scene, right? Like the lawyers go to the restaurant after the big case and they all pop the champagne and everyone's, dude, in the real world of business, by the time it's time to pop the champagne, you're so exhausted, you're so worn out, you're so sick and tired of the deal that you don't feel like popping champagne unless it's the last big deal. And you've had two of them, and that's where we want to argue today. We want to argue to our audience that's when you pop the champagne. Yeah, never before.
And I think we're talking, just to give everybody clarity, because you and I talk about celebrate everything and win. And that's much different than this idea of popping the champagne, right? I mean, to grow a successful company, you need to, you know, you win the big case, you win the new account, you need to celebrate. But what Matt and I always talk about, it's celebrate quickly, cost effectively, and get to work, right? But we're seeing this entrepreneurial, and I think social's influencing it, right? I mean, we're seeing people buy the Lambo or take the vacation or celebrate what they believe is the win so premature, right? And it's almost this manifestation of, you know, social is this new version of keeping up with the Joneses, and they're celebrating way too early and for the wrong thing. And what's going to happen is, you know, all that effort they did, they thought they were at the top of the hill and they're only halfway and they've popped it and they're starting to celebrate. And all it's going to do is make them fall back down.
You know, Judge, you've educated me on the exit process, right? And through that education that you've given me, I've been able to have much more interesting conversations with people who have exited or who are going through it. And we had a guy over, a family over, a couple nights ago. Their son's going through the ACL surgery that my middle son's going through right about at the same time. So they're doing rehab together and all that stuff. Anyway, the guy's a lawyer for a very large energy company that, the deal closed, the sale of that company, a division of that company closed before the end of the year. Now, this guy literally had been working on that deal for 9 months. I mean, it was all encompassing. Everything you've talked about, right? The LOIs, the changing of the LOIs, the iBanks, the lawyers, the CPAs, the accountants, the data rooms, the slicing of the data, the aggravation of, oh my God, I can't believe they're want us to pull another data slice. Oh my God, the deal's off. Oh my God, I'm walking. We can't walk. The back and forth was the time to pop champagne. And that's what we're trying to create this perspective on today's podcast, that the finish, the real finish, the wire transfer into your account is, it's never like it is in the movies, man. It's arduous. There has to be real freaking pain before you pop the champagne. Hey, that should be the title of today's podcast.
That could be a
book. You must have pain before the champagne, right?
Yeah, no, there is. And I think what we want to communicate today is you got to stay the course, right? You got to celebrate everything, but it's not the big celebration with the champagne. There's going to be painful. It's a process, and you got to live in the shit and you got to do the work, right? And I think what we're also finding, Matt, and some of the businesses we're involved in, there's this new version of, you know, digital and VAs and bots and all this shit that makes everything seem like, oh, that's easy. You don't need a sales force. You don't need to cold call anybody. You know, we're going to put ad spend into Facebook here, and we're going to hire a Vietnam VA, and, you know, we're going to be millionaires in, you know, 36 months. Dude, it's not, it don't play out that way.
Hey, you ask your workout partner, Mitch. Yeah, hey, Mitch, how's it work? Yeah, you're going to push that sled, dude. That's how it's going to work.
Yeah, dude, it's a great example. Whether you're trying to get in shape or grow a real business to celebrate, to get that wire transaction, you got to put in the freaking work. And it's not 1 week. It's not 1 month. It's a fucking grind consistently.
Hey, let's talk about this. I'm sure you felt this, but let's talk about this, and maybe it gives the audience a little bit of an emotional understanding of what we're talking about. When I was leaving the lake house the last time, I don't know, a week or so ago, I was closing it up. Everybody had left before me, and I was closing it up. And I had this feeling that I've had, you know, probably since I was 15 years old, where there's closure, and then there's unbelievable excitement of the next round. And I was trying to explain this to my oldest son, John, to try to get him fired up going back to West Point, which he was. But I was saying to him, you know, John, like even before the high school football game, we played on Saturdays. We didn't do the Friday night light things, that we didn't have lighted fields and all that shit. No turf either. But I would drive that Saturday morning, like 7 a.m. to the field. Mm. And I would walk the track, and I would visualize the game. And then when I left the fence, there would be closure. Okay, I'm prepared. Now let's go for the next battle, right? And that battle would be the game. But I had the closure. I left the lake house a week ago, and I had that exact same feeling. I've had it 100 times in my career of prepared, let's go to battle. And I relish that feeling. Mm-hmm. When I describe it like that, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
where
totally.
You're like, oh, I'm fucking prepared for the battle now. Mm-hmm. That piece is over. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the greatest feeling that you have, whether it's a DNA thing or a learned thing, that you have the process to get prepared for the battle? I mean, dude, I love that whole process of it.
Well, and I think the more important piece of that is, without that process, more than likely you're going to lose the battle. I mean, you've got to love the process and know how to do it and appreciate it, because if you don't prepare for it and don't understand it, you're not going to win that battle, right? Whether that's the battle to survive the next month of payroll, whether it's the battle to go from building a plan to go from 18 million to 100 million, whether it's the plan to really exit the company, without understanding and appreciating and planning and prepping for that process, you won't win.
Yeah. So just to try to bring it full circle, maybe someone listening can relate to what we're talking about here and what I'm trying to get across here. there was no desire for champagne. Right. There was no like preparation equals celebration. There was preparation equals confidence to go back to war. Mm. And that's, I think, what we're trying to create the emotion with people is, dude, you're not in war enough.
Yeah.
Like, you're just in these constant little versions of what it looks like. And then you're taking the celebration to a level that's totally unwarranted.
Yeah, dude, let's use Nick, something that's relevant right now, right? And I'm a big college football guy. Alabama's going to the national championship. Okay. Dude, you want to talk about a guy that gets when to pop the champagne? Nick Saban. Dude, you look at his post press conferences. I mean, he can beat a team 60-3, you know, and he is not even thinking about the win. He's wanting to understand how somebody scored 3 points on him, why he didn't score 100, and how fast is this press conference over, because I have to prep and start watching film and get my guys in recovery to prepare for the next team. And he doesn't pop that champagne until the national championship is won, pops it, then regroups. Mm-hmm.
That's the example. That's the perfect example.
Yeah. And you've got these, you got people that are constantly, you know, they're celebrating survival.
Yeah, man, that's what it is, dude.
They're celebrating survival, right? It's wow, we never hit this milestone. And the sad part of it, and I hope this gets through to people, is, dude, if you were in survival, I've been struggling to make payroll. Okay. And now you've just got 3 months of consistency, 4 months, 12 months, to where not only now are you not worried about payroll, but you've got an extra 10, 15, 20, 30, 40,000 in the bank. That's where this concept of popping the champagne gets so scary.
Yes, dude.
Okay. Because you get this, you say it all the time, this false positive, right? You have a false positive because you were in so much fucking pain, and now you're not in pain, but you haven't won.
Yeah.
And you go get the, you know, $2,400 a month lease on the Lamborghini, and you go from the, you know, $250,000 or $300,000 home to I want a $700,000 or $1 million home. And all you've done is you've taken what little win you have and you've just stressed it again.
So how do you avoid it, Judge? How do we today help people recognize when you pop the champagne?
Well, dude, it's the end game, right? It's everything we teach at Burn the Ships. Like, your champagne moment should be based on the accomplishment of the end game.
Yeah. And we're going to go so far as to encourage all business owners that the end game is to have a real, not a liquidity event, a real liquidity event. We know people who are so quick to say they sold their business, and then we only for us to realize, but the business really, it was a sale, but it wasn't a liquidity event.
Right. Yeah. You still have to work.
You still have to work. It wasn't enough. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have gains in liquidity events. Sure.
And that you shouldn't celebrate, because that's a huge milestone.
Mark Cuban sold Micro Solutions and, you know, celebrated, bought the around the world plane ticket, right? The lifetime pass on American Airlines, first class. He could fly anytime he wants, first class, anywhere in the world. And then he came on back and he was like, yeah, man, sort of did that, you know, now what's next? And he builds broadcast.com. So all of it is right, but the liquidity event has to be big. And so you stay out of popping the champagne on these little milestones when the end game is big. The goal should be to build something that exits in which you never have to work again.
Yeah. Or you adjust your lifestyle and it motivates you more and you have a new end game because the lifestyle requires more, right? I know several people. I know several people that it's always a new version of rich, right? There's always a new version of rich. You know, the more circles that we are surround in and level up, you know, I'm on a call and the guy's wondering, he's like, man, yeah, I'm really tired of, you know, this six passenger jet. Yeah, you know, I want to be able to take my extended family, my kids and their girlfriends and their friends.
Or another family.
Yeah, and another family in my, you know, six passenger jet just doesn't do it.
Yeah, man, those are great fucking problems to have, dude.
Right.
Look, I had a conversation in my office yesterday with a guy. He came to us. He was making 200 grand for a while. I bet probably for 10 years he made 200 grand. Last year he made 800,000 at commercial fleet. Right.
Yeah.
And he wasn't looking to pop champagne, but to your point of the new version of it. You know, we spent 10 minutes together and I gave him four strategies of his next four moves, basically, right? Of what he needs to be working on. It's not how does he go from 800 to 1.6 million? He's already got that figured out. It's how do you go from 200 to 800 in your mindset?
Yeah.
Right? I told him and he was like, he couldn't understand it at first, but I think he got it. I'm like, dude, The thing you have to do is change everything now. Because if you make 800 with a $200,000 a year mindset, you won't make 800 again.
Yeah.
It has to elevate.
And I think, you know, we're somewhat all over the place, but I want to land the plane, no pun intended here. I mean, there's the big concept here is, Matt and I believe you should celebrate everything. So don't confuse culture and celebrating and being proud of where you are, but this idea of the champagne moment, right? That has to tie back to your end game before you ever consider even buying the fucking bottle to pop, you know? And then, you know, what's the plan to get you there, right? I mean, it's, dude, you know, Grant talks about it in his book. His book is so great. 10X, it's just effort, dude. Like, if you want, Matt and I are in this Amazon business right now. We've got two products, resistant bands. I'm seeing orders come in too, Matt. It's great. Gotta get you. Awesome. We got like five or six, but it's a hockey stick, right? So Matt and I were on a call yesterday, and we're looking at it, and you know, it's a slow process. You got to get reviews. You got to get the fucking product. I mean, it's a long game. And I think everybody has to understand business to be successful is always typically this long game, right? You're playing golf. You're not playing horse, you know? And anyhow, where I'm getting with this is we start to see that economics month four for us, right? At month four for Matt and I, if the model starts to play out the way that we want it to play out, this is where people have to understand the champagne moment, right? When do you shift that gear to take a concept and an idea of cash flow and make it really worthwhile, right? And so we had that moment yesterday. We said, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, Matt, by month, I think it's four or five, if that model is trending where we think it is trending, you and I are going to make a decision. If it's not trending, we're probably just going to exit the business. We've invested this much. We'll keep the product. We'll let it fizzle out. We'll take the cash flow or whatever. If it's trending the way we believe it's trending, because we understand the power of compounding, we understand the power of time and compression of time, we're going to go from two SKUs to 15, 20 SKUs if they make sense. Because that's scale. That's the ability to get to the champagne moment. Okay. And so many people, if the model hit month five, would be celebrating our model hit month five. And the product is successful and we're going to succeed and we're going to be making this much money month 12. No. Great. It did what we thought it would have done. Now we invest. Now we put the work in. Now is the difference between non-celebrating and understanding when that champagne moment can happen.
Dude, that's the best example of today's podcast, because most people would have celebrated and rushed to Facebook to talk about their Amazon product.
Yeah, I'm not even going to fucking, I don't give a fuck. I got zero talking about it.
Dude, the only thing we care about on social is to get sales.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody else would have been popping. It's a perfect example of popping champagne that they have their Amazon product launched. And what you and I know in our primary businesses and the other businesses that we're involved in, there is no fucking free lunch. Every single one of these businesses has been more difficult than we thought. And there is no easy road to real money. Even on the Amazon business, we had shipping problems. We had design problems. We had COVID problems. We had warehousing problems. We had
communication problems, staff problems.
Yeah, we had the you know, understanding how really what I took away from yesterday was just what a Goliath Amazon is, and how the old saying of he who has the gold makes the rules. Nobody has more gold than Amazon in this situation.
Yeah.
Dude, they control your freaking destiny when you are a seller on Amazon.
Yeah.
And you got to play by their rules. You got to play their game too, right? We want to pour fuel on it, right? We want to get more sales. We want to pump it up. It's got to be done properly. Other Amazon's looking for guys who game the system. You can't game the system, right? So I think it's a great example. Most people would have been popping the champagne because the product is now for sale on Amazon. And by the way, the comments in that guy's post would have been fucking awesome for you, man. Yeah. You fucking rock it. Right.
Yeah. You went and bought the Porsche and you're flexing with the exercise bands in front of the Porsche. Like, it's a false positive, right? I mean, let's just get back to the narrative, build a plan, understand your end game and celebrate every success. Okay. But back to the Nick Saban example, dude, why are you in it? Are you here to win a game? Are you here to win your conference? Are you here to win the national title? Okay. And if it's the national title, you don't pop the champagne until it's the national title. Okay.
Yeah. But the celebration that you're having for the wins is literally like, you know, bagels for the office.
Yeah.
We brought in lunch for everybody. I mean, there's no, you know, we see people, dude, we've seen people who at their Christmas parties are giving away Rolexes, but they're having trouble getting their credit card to clear, you know, on the services that we provide them. Right. It's like, come on, man, keep it real. You know, I think one last summary too on this, Judge, and I've seen this with a lot of people, is they don't have enough respect for profit. They really don't understand that the game is profit preservation. The reason that we believe so much in culture is because it creates more profit. We're not nonprofits in fucking business. We're profitable companies. And I think a lot of people really don't covet the money, man. They don't protect it. And I talk about this, and you need more money, man. I mean, you know, money is like a beautiful woman. If you don't pay it attention, man, that it goes. And I watch this. I mean, I've even had it in our budget meetings at Commercial Fleet where I'm like, hold on a second, guys. I think we can wring out 2 more percentage points here. It looks pretty straightforward to me in 2021 budget. We can wring out a couple more points. Yeah, but, you know, do we need to? Yeah. Those 2 percentage points down the road might make a huge difference. Give you an example in our PPP money, right? They came out with new final rules on PPP. You know, we're going to get that PPP will be forgiven, right? good or bad. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
The question was, what are we going to do with the PPP money in my office? We're not going to do anything.
Right.
Nothing. Well, I mean, are we going to leave it in that separate account? Yeah. Why would we do that was one of the questions. Because we might need it for the intended purposes.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
That just because you have the money doesn't mean you, I mean, that's another great concept. Just because you have money does not mean you need to spend it.
Right. That's my point about the coveting of the profit, right? You have it, the profit has to be coveted, hoarded, protected, surrounded, put a moat around it to make sure that it's legitimate. And dude, we've seen it so many times, man, where guys, yeah. You know,
it's why my last company companies have sold, and the main one that I did with my business partner, and we talk about it, Ernesto Rocco Capobianco, all the time. Dude, this is the margin that we operate to. We do not go a month with not hitting this margin.
Yep.
Period. And you only have two choices. You reduce or you get more. And dude, that was the rule. I mean, he was the most laid back, great, amazing human being. But in that meeting, that there was no gray area on that, Matt. Zero. This is the margin, because he understood protecting the profit.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if we were flushed with cash or whatever. And dude, if it is going to affect the margin one time, not happening.
Yeah. Look, I'll just throw one story in here. You know, for all the years of talking to business owners, tens and tens of thousands of them, people still don't understand the difference between revenue and profit, right?
Yeah.
I hear a lot. We made $1 million last year. Oh man, sweet. Your personal tax return showed up. No. The company. Oh, it's quite a different story, buddy.
Yeah.
Like there's a big difference between top line and bottom line. Bottom line's what fucking matters. Nobody gives a shit what the top line is, boys. Is the bottom line recurring? Is it repeatable? Is it trustworthy? All the things we teach at Burn the Ships. So I just hope this gets through to somebody, man. They were getting ready to take that 2020 bonus, right? They just closed the books or got their preliminary 2020 numbers, and they're like, how am I going to fucking spend it? How am I going to pop the champagne? And I hope we educated a few people to say, don't pop shit. Go double it or triple it in 2021 and then think about it.
Yeah, build the my takeaway for everybody is the next 3 years of your life, what does that look like for you financially? What do you want? Why do you want it? When do you want it? What do you want? Why do you want it? And when do you want it? And then when you hit that, that's when you pop it. Okay, that's when you do, but don't lie to yourself. Don't get enamored with social and get this false narrative that, dude, I've got to go lease a Lambo now because, you know, I hit a milestone, right? I mean, that's the false positive that Matt talks about, why you'll never, ever fucking exit your company. It just won't happen, right?
Hey, Judge, let's do this for somebody who may have listened this long. I want to give them the four things I told that guy yesterday, right? Just that might help them. The four things, a guy went from 200, consistently making 200 in his other career, to making 800 with us. In year two, by the way, not bad. I told him four things yesterday. I said, these are the next four steps that you need to do. The first is you need to start studying the mindset of the rich, right? Not the mindset of $200,000 a year earners. You need to start studying the mindset of the rich people. How do the rich begin to look at their money? That's the first thing you need to do. Books, who you watch, who you read, who you listen to, conversations, network, however you got to get to the rich mindset, you got to start to develop it. The second thing is you got to insurance up. Because most people at $200,000 a year are ridiculously underinsured. And now when you start to make 800 grand, mama likes the Prada and you probably like the Range Rover now. So you better make sure that there's enough insurance to cover the lifestyle if something happens to you. The third thing is you got to reserve up. You need to make that operating account to cover the bill. And then everything else has to go into the reserve account under the same discipline that you refer to with you and Ernie, in which this is the margin. The same discipline of the reserve account has to be: under no circumstances does the money get touched unless there's an appreciation opportunity, right? You're buying a piece of property that goes up, an investment deal that goes up in value. It is never to go to Disney. That is not the reserve account. He's like, oh, I already have a savings account. I say, you didn't hear me, buddy, because you don't have the mindset of the rich. It's not a savings account. It's a reserve account, totally different. And then the last thing is to begin to create a strategy for the capital allocation. When you have the reserve account, where do you begin to deploy the capital so that you can pull in some passive so you don't have to always make the 800 down the road? I mean, dude, you know, how many years this guy got? He's 40 years old. What do you got? I mean, you got to start allocating some of this excess capital in your reserve account to make some passive.
Well, I think that's such an important point, Matt. I mean, when you start making money, if you don't have any on the side, like I got off the phone with my guys, I go, I want to make sure that I have enough liquid cash for opportunistic things. Right. And I mean, you're the same way. I mean, you and I are in something else we can't even talk about. And, you know, you were like, hey, dude, is there a way I could get into that deal? And we figured a way to do that. And it's no big deal for you. Why? Right. Because you had a reserve for things that become opportunistic, that present themselves, that could potentially yield big gains. Mm-hmm. Now, if you didn't practice the four things that you preach, you wouldn't be in that deal.
You wouldn't.
And that reserve account. Now, whether that deal, we're talking about a specific one here, whether that one works or not, it's when a deal like that is presented, you have the funds and it works, is the difference between becoming rich and wealthy and staying rich.
I hope enough people listened this long in the podcast to hear this piece of it, because this is the holy grail, dude. It's really those four steps. And then that concept you just laid out of being in a position for when the opportunity presents itself to be able to do it. It's the real estate that came on sale.
Yeah.
It's the business that was on sale. It's the network and a wonderful, amazing friend that says, yeah, I can probably figure a way to make that happen for you. But it don't happen without
money.
It don't have, and you know, real money. I mean, I always say, I argue when you need more money, those deals don't open unless you can put 100 into them.
Yeah. I mean, like if you got an extra $5,000 laying around, you're not going to, that's not going to move the needle.
Yeah. Nobody wants to jack with you for your $50,000 investment and have to take your fucking phone calls. It just doesn't go like that.
Right.
You know? So people need to understand that. But by the way, the good news on that too, buddy, is that 100, 150, 200 still gets people's attention.
Yeah, totally.
Right. It's enough to be like, okay, fuck, you got 100 you want to put in with me? Okay. Right. I mean, the deal we're referencing, there's some real scratch being put into the deal, and 100 is still, we're doing much more than that, but it's enough. It's enough to say, okay, you can play.
Yeah. And take away even the one we're referencing here. It's whenever it comes up, right? You just want to be in that opportunity. You're at an amazing vacation and you meet somebody you thought you were never going to meet, and you're all of a sudden in a circle that you never thought you were, and timing and circumstance just happen to be on your side. And that individual says, hey, I got this opportunity. Do you want in? And you can't get in? What an awful feeling.
It's the worst.
Right?
That's the deal. And by the way, we've all had it. Yeah. And it changes the dynamic of that relationship with that person too, right? You're no longer the guy he thought you were.
Yeah. How's that puppy treating you?
He's a sweet little guy, man. I gotta tell you, I love him as much as you like Sophia. Really?
Good. Is it house trained yet?
Yeah, he's pretty house trained, but not trained in much else.
Yeah,
he's pretty.
All right, well,
he's a cute little guy, man. I really do like this little guy.
That's awesome. I can't wait. I haven't seen him, man, because it's been so crazy and hectic with holidays and COVID. And so here's it. We're gonna end it on this. there is your moment of popping the champagne, but it needs to be thoughtful. What do you want? Why do you want it and when? And you don't pop it until you hit it. Okay. And those micro celebrations don't mean increasing your lifestyle, maxing out to go with the Lambo. Dude, you need to get the event. You need to have enough cash on the sideline. You need to be looking at the long-term game here to really do what you need in your life, right? To build legacy, to take care of your family, to live the lifestyle that you want. That's a personal thing, but so many of us fuck that up along the way, right?
We pop the champagne too early.
We're popping it way too early, and all we're doing is trying to play catch up. You spend 6 months, a year, 3 years, and you get halfway, and you think you made it, and you pop it too early. And it's so sad, because that is the state. Most people don't make it even to the halfway point, right? Most businesses just fail. And then the next step is most of them make them halfway up the hill and they pop it too early. But we're going to leave you on that note. Don't pop it too early. And check out burntheships.com if you haven't. Share this podcast and we'll see you down the road.
Thanks, buddy. See you, everybody.
You are listening to the Scale with Speed podcast. Why? Because scale equals revenue and speed equals profit. Hosted by 9-figure business builders, Matt Monero and Judge Graham. Enter with caution.